Greetings, Anna. This is Brother Michael. Thank you for asking a question with such kindness. I really appreciate it and am honored to try to share with you what I know about this subject. I'm going to give you the very skinny version. I've talked about this a number of times. I do believe that there is an authentic tongue gift. I do believe the scripture refers to it as glossolalia. It means another language. I also believe Zach Poonen, a minister that I know of in India, claims to have the gift of tongues. But he says that as he's traveled around the world, he believes 90% of what he hears in tongue speaking is counterfeit. I believe I've only ever heard one person actually speak with an authentic tongue. And I do believe that the scriptures warn in 1 Corinthians 12 regarding the gifts of the Spirit. Paul had to start addressing people who were making such a big deal out of tongues. He said, you know, you guys are carnal believers, meaning you're thinking more in the flesh than you are in the spirit. And stop being like little children about this. And he said that the greater gift is the gift of prophecy. He said, you should desire the greater gift. And he says, if somebody speaks in a tongue, they edify themselves. If somebody prophesies, they're edifying the church. And prophecy is primarily receiving a word from God on the relevant matter or a particular issue with the body that is fellowshipping, or God's heart on a matter, so that the whole church would be encouraged and they could know that God was speaking to them. So the tongue speaking thing, I believe, is something that, as with any of Father's gifts and powers, it has been counterfeited. And I've heard a lot of tongue speaking in the charismatic churches here. And I believe that the Pentecostals are wrong in this, that they believe that the only evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Sister, that is so wrong. I've spoken on this at great length. You'd have to throw away some of the greatest Christians that ever lived. You'd have to throw away Charles Spurgeon. You'd have to throw away Madame Guyon. You'd have to throw away John Wesley, A.W. Tozer, D.L. Moody, most of the Puritans that I've never heard a single one ever think that they, you know, that they spoke in tongues or what have you. I do believe that it is a legitimate gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe very few people actually have it. And I believe when you cross the line and you start to say that this is the evidence. See, the reason why they get this is because there's a few times, not every time, but there's a few times in the beginning in the book of Acts when the laying on of hands and the receiving of the Holy Spirit was also followed by tongue speaking, but they were speaking in languages that other people around them could actually understand. It wasn't jibber jabber. This is a bunch of gibberish that people are doing. I think it's just a real mockery of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's, as with anything, it's being abused, neglected, misunderstood, etc. In the book of Acts, what happens is you get in real trouble if you try to make doctrine out of the book of Acts. I mean, for example, Philip is translated. He's just apparently picked up from the Spirit in Acts 8, and he's moved from one place to another. How do you make a doctrine out of that? That if you suddenly go and evangelize somewhere and God is just going to translate you? Also, when the baptized believers received the Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Spirit, the room shook. The sound of a mighty rushing wind was heard. Tongues of fire, cloven fire, appeared over their heads. I mean, is that anything that you and I have ever heard of? How do you make a doctrine out of that? How do you say that is a continuing experience that all new believers in Christ should experience? It's not. Do you see anybody preaching, you know, the gospel to Jews and 3,000 of them coming to faith in one moment, like what happened with Peter? No. So you can't make doctrines out of the book of Acts. And that's the problem with people, sister, is they go to the book of Acts. I mean, and I could show you, if you want to do a big study, you can see that there are people who actually receive tongues before they receive baptism, like water baptism. And then there are those who receive water baptism and then speak in tongues. So you can't even make a doctrine really out of very many things at all in the original Pentecost, because Pentecost is something that happened one time. Now, I do believe where you go and evangelize in places that people have never heard the gospel before, you're going to see displays of the book of Acts type things. If you were to go read Brother Yun's story from China, you'll see lots of amazing things happen that look like the book of Acts. Why is this? This is a place where the gospel had never been before. So the Lord in his mercy will do signs, miracles, and wonders in order to establish he is Lord in a place where people have never heard before, sister. So the problem with this tongue speaking thing is people begin to turn into a spiritual pride and they put that in the very front. Paul says, do all speak in tongues? I really encourage you. He says, I wish everyone did, but they don't. He says, do all prophesy? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. So it's not a gift that's given to everyone. But I believe that Satan has led so many astray with the counterfeit, because see what happens is, see, even my own mother claims to have spoken tongues, but yet she doesn't demonstrate an ounce of faith of actually believing God for anything until after she sees it. So I would ask you, if that's a tongue of the Holy Spirit, where is the faith of the Holy Spirit? And what you find is inside these Pentecostal churches, there's pride, self-righteousness, there's a lot of other worldly behavior. So they're claiming to be in possession of the real Holy Spirit, the real power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, if you look closely in their lives, they won't look anything like Jesus. This is the thing that has made me so angry, sister, over all these years, and it's made me sound a bit harsh, is that I'm standing against all that is false in the name of Jesus Christ. And people are having all these counterfeit experiences, believing, oh, I'm in possession of the real Spirit of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm really filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm baptized, anointed, and saved. Really? Have you gotten rid of your anger? Have you gotten rid of your love of money? Why do you still love the world so much? What about unforgiveness? What about, you have any secret pornography habits? What about your love of money? What about that comes out of your mouth when nobody's looking? Are you taking up your cross, denying yourself? Are you hearing God speak other than just the speaking of the tongues? Are you hearing the Lord speak and guide you with providence and in your heart and in your word, in the word, to do things that, you know, don't make sense to other people, that are taking risks, that are denial of self and stuff like that? I mean, I'm not saying everybody has to become a missionary, but you should be hearing God guide you away from the world, away from the flesh, away from Satan, and you should be growing in holiness. And so the number one evidence of the Holy Spirit is holiness. And what is holiness? It means being set apart. You're no longer like the world. So the holiest of all is God. A lot of people think holiness, they immediately think of, you know, like a monk, or, you know, just this behavior that's just really Christian-like and God-like. Yes, that's very much a part of it. But the true definition of holiness is something altogether different, totally separate. So when you have God, he is the most holy, and he is constantly referred to, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? The angels are crying out, it says nonstop, holy. What are they saying? That God has good behavior? That God's a lot like a Christian? No. They're saying God is so totally different than anybody or anything else in all of creation. Ah, I tell you, I feel that in the Spirit of God. I love to speak of God's holiness. I love that there's nothing like God. I love that he stands apart in holiness. I tell you, I love that God is almighty, and I love that God is holy. I love thinking about God's holiness, that my God, the God who lives inside of me by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, despite me, He makes me holy. He makes me less and less like the world. I'm not worldly, sister. I don't love anything in the world. I mean, and this is by the grace of God. He's changed me. You know, he's made me, he's made me more like him. I just long for heaven, and I long to be more like him. And I find it so lonely in this world, and I despise what this world goes after, because this world, you know, hates God and just always is just fascinated with whatever new flashing blue light comes in front of their face. And people are not going to understand, so many of them, until they die and stand before God, that an eternity in happiness would just be to look upon him, to just marvel at him. And if you can't understand that, then I don't believe you're really born again. You certainly are not filled with an anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you have the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send you something that came to my inbox the other day. It was a Grace Gems devotional about how can you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? And it's remarkable timing of it for your question. And it's something that I've been kind of preaching for years. It's just, I think that this person did it in much better words and much more articulate. But sister, evidence of the Holy Spirit is that you love Jesus so much and you see him above all others, and you're growing in holiness. You are being set apart, not that you have some sound that comes out of your mouth, and that you're living a life by faith, and you're taking up your cross and denying yourself, and you're desiring to do the will of Jesus Christ. That is being filled with the Holy Spirit, sister, not having some noise come out of your mouth that may or may not do. I mean, so what? Even if you have the authentic gift of tongues by rare chance, what good is it if you are not, you know, Paul would say you're nothing more than a resounding gong if you're not living in total love for God, loving him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and doing what he has asked and doing his will. So I want you to know, I would not attend a Pentecostal church myself personally. I would not. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying, if you're asking me, I would not. I think a lot of Pentecostals are these weird Christians that I do not like. I do not like weird Christians. I think it's okay to have weird experiences. I think you sin and you mock God and you give him a bad name when you become a weird Christian. And you can't even have a normal conversation with another human being. And you can't understand how weird spirituality would be to somebody who's, a non-believer. And you just have to act so weird as a Christian. I can't stand that. I really am frustrated at people that become weird in their Christianity. And charismatics are weird. And the more you hang around with charismatics, the more weird you become. I think they give a really bad name to God. And it really makes me upset, sister. It really makes me upset. So may the Lord guide you and give you guidance. Again, I want you to know that I believe I've had one person that I've seen that has spoken in an authentic tongue language. A lady sent me a video of her doing it, and I was very touched. And I really realized, I think, you know, that lady has got the true gift of speaking in tongues. And I've heard of other people who just suddenly, what have you, something happened during a time of prayer or what have you, and then they started speaking in this unknown language, excuse me. Nobody had to teach it to them. Nobody, you know, they weren't emulating somebody else that they saw at a charismatic church. And I believe that person was given the true gift of the Holy Spirit, obviously. And then I do believe that that manifestation of the Holy Spirit with them was authentic in the gift of tongues. And I believe it's the Lord's way of letting some people know, to edify them, that, you know, there's a power at work from me in you to do this that you cannot do apart from me. And so I do believe it. That's why the Bible says that it's a gift that edifies the believer, right? And I used to pray for the gift of tongues back in the day when I went to the charismatic church. I sat down one time in prayer and I said, Lord, you've given me such faith to believe you for amazing things, impossible things I don't even see regular Christians doing. I said, but Lord, if I'm missing the gift of tongues you'd like to give me, please give it to me. I pray. The Lord never gives it to me, but look at what my gift is. My gift is the gift of prophecy, which Paul says you should desire that far more than you should tongues. So I have the gift of prophecy. So what would be the need? The Lord would look to me and say, Michael, I've given you the better gift. Why would you desire tongues at this point, son? So I finally walked away from that. And a gift, my gift of prophecy is my ability to have years ago discerned and seen what Father sees in the so-called church, and to begin to warn people that going through the motions and all this counterfeit and all this myselfianity and all this apprehending Christianity, the teachings and the doctrines and the sermons and all that, apart from allowing Jesus Christ to apprehend you, is worthless. It's a counterfeit. And you can go to these churches and you can really feel like you know the Lord and you're in a good place. And these people must really know him. But when you look at their lives throughout the week, they live no different than the rest of the world. Maybe they just don't say foul language, and maybe they don't watch too many foul movies, and maybe they're not drinking alcohol, or maybe, you know, they're honest on their taxes, but they're not doing the Lord's will. They're basically whitewashed tombs. They've cleaned up the pig a little bit, but they're still a pig, still largely unregenerate, perhaps by the Holy Spirit, not walking in the Spirit, not burning in passion with love for him and growing in their desire for him. I've only just grown more and more and more. The more the Lord has allowed me to suffer, the more the Lord has delayed me. I started laughing the other night in prayer, chuckling. I said, "Lord, the more you have struck me, the more I've grown." And I just started to chuckle at the goodness of God, that the more he's done to me over the years, the more he strikes me and disciplines me and stretches me out and causes me suffering and gives me delays and all that. You know, Lisa and I just see, we just keep growing and growing and growing. And I'm at a stage now where in the last 2 months, I've had some of the greatest insights in the Holy Spirit that I could have even imagined. I would call it openings to the Word, where the Holy Spirit has just given me this understanding of things in the Word. And it just, Lisa sees, "Goodness gracious, honey." She says, "God just keeps giving you all these insights." And I said, "I know. I mean, I'm going to run out of memory on my phone, basically, if God, you know, I'm going to have to get more memory and more hard drives." I mean, I'm kind of joking, but it's like, it just seems like it just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. I get these insights. And this is, you know, one of the greatest evidences I have of the Holy Spirit is these insights. He just keeps giving me into his Word, and I'm more and more wanting to be free of this world. So, sister, I'm going to send you right behind this the email that came in the other day. And by all means, if I can answer any other question for you about this, please email me back, and I'll be happy to try to answer it for you. It may just be helpful for you to type in the word tongues and look and see that he has to talk about it a lot with the Corinthian church, but filter it all through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he explains that they're all carnal, that they're not even spiritual. So he's having to do a lot of disciplining in that way. God bless you, sister, in Jesus' name. Bye-bye. Michael Commentary. I have no doubt some of you will ask, what was the email that you sent to her about the evidence of having received the Holy Spirit? It was from a Grace Gems. A gentleman named James Smith spoke this in the year 1860. The email title is, "Have You Received the Holy Spirit?" from the scripture in Acts 19:2. What are the evidences of having received the Holy Spirit? If we have received the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus stands high in our estimation, and our views of ourselves are very humbling, and just in proportion to the power and depth of the Spirit's work will be our conceptions of the glory, grandeur, and excellency of the Savior, and our discoveries of the depravity, the pollution, the weakness, and the misery of our own hearts. If, therefore, we have heart-affecting views of the glory of Christ and his finished work, and if we lie low in the dust under a sense of our own weakness and worthlessness, so that we are brought to depend wholly on Christ and on Christ alone, we have surely received the Holy Spirit. Also, if we have received the Holy Spirit, there is in us a deep-rooted, abiding hatred to sin, all sin, especially sin in ourselves. What was once our darling sin has become the object of our hatred, And against that sin, we set a double guard. For nothing do we sigh so often. For nothing do we desire so ardently as holiness. The Holy Spirit always sets the whole soul against sin and longing for perfect holiness. True, our old desires towards sin will sometimes revive, but then we loathe ourselves on account of it, mourn over it, and confess it before God. The cry of the soul is, "Holiness, Lord, more holiness, deep, penetrating, all-pervading holiness." Now, if we hate sin everywhere, all sin, and especially the sin that dwells in us, and if we love holiness, admire holiness, pray for holiness, pant for holiness, and strive for holiness, then there is no doubt that we have received the Holy Spirit. Once more, if we have received the Holy Spirit, then we are ruled by God's Word. We do not follow custom or allow our desires or prejudices to dictate our course. In all times of difficulty, when in any perplexity, something seems to say within us, quote, "To the law and to the testimony," unquote, and "to the precepts of the New Testament we turn." The Word of Christ is the law of the true believer. Everything short of it, or beyond it, or beside it, or contrary to it, is sin. Only what Jesus commands, all that Jesus commands, and because Jesus commands, is the language of the soul. And while we thus make the word of Jesus our rule, we deny ourselves. We deny our own wills, our own passions, our own desires, our likes and dislikes. We are before Him as He was before His Father when He cried out, "Not my will, but may your will be done." If, then, we make the Word of God our guide and habitually deny ourselves for Christ's sake, we may rest assured that we have received the Holy Spirit. Reader, have you received the Holy Spirit? Remember, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Romans 8:9.